The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
And here we go. Digital Adele back with some more Hoops Profile for you, Beyond the Backboard podcast with Matt Hanifan. Now, there's a lot going on with the channel. Before I introduce my co-host, I just wanted to talk about something you may have noticed, and that is the rebrand of Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast. So we've changed the logo. We're going to flash that up there right on the screen for you so you can take a look at it. And I want to give you a little bit of a why behind why I did it, right? So the reason why I changed the color scheme and I've updated the logo is because I want this momentum for this channel to keep going. It's growing. We're over 4,000 subscribers strong on YouTube now. We're now on Apple Podcasts, we're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are found, you can find us. So don't forget to leave a review and to like the streams on YouTube if you're watching the visual version, which is here on YouTube. So that's why I've rebranded. We're going to have stuff like merchandise. We're going to have all kind of fun things and cool things going on with this channel and this business in particular, because I do want to one day grow this into a viable business. And then I can break the chains of my corporate overlords. It's a long way away. But what do you think about the rebrand, Matt?
No, I like it. I like it. I just think it's very... I want to say it's unique. Obviously, like, we're just talking in terms of, like, what the rebrand looks like. Like, the goals. Like, we have big aspirations with this. You specifically. But... Oh man, I'm very excited for this. I'm very excited. I think I'm just very excited for what's ahead.
Awesome.
I'm trying to find a way to describe it, but I can't really.
He's speechless, folks. He's absolutely speechless. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Don't forget to leave a comment below of what you think about the new rebrand, because I'm really interested in your feedback. I'm really excited for you people to see it. I've got big plans for you, Matt. I don't know if you know that yet, but I secretly got big plans for you. I think you're fantastic at what you do. Tell these people real quick before we get into the basketball where they can find you and follow you and get more of your work.
At MPH _824_ on Twitter. That's my Twitter handle. I probably got to change that. So just to make it more simple. Where people are
probably
able to find me.
You probably should.
Probably a smart long-term goal.
We don't want to have to do calculus to find you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, no. No one wants to do like the Pythagorean theorem or some shit to find my app on Twitter. But HaHaHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com. It's basketball season. I'm very excited for everything that we're building here, in addition to all the hoops that we have watched over the summer and last spring, last fall, in addition to what we're going to be watching this upcoming winter onward. But no, man, I'm pumped. I'm excited. Let's talk some rookies.
Absolutely. Let's get into it. Don't forget 5 Reasons Sports Network. We're both contributors there and Playback TV. the cat's out of the bag. I will be doing the some of the after game stuff, the post game shows with Greg Sylvander on Five Reasons. So I'm going to be doing some of that as well. That should be a good time. Hopefully it's not as late as I anticipated going to be every single night on the West Coast. However, we're going to make it happen one way or another. But yeah, let's get right into it. So today's crop of rookies is uno, singular, one. We only have one, and that is Jalen Tyson of the Cleveland Cavaliers. This kid I scouted extensively during the college basketball season, and he popped immediately as soon as I turned on the tape. The first game I watched, the first possession I watched of Jalen Tyson, he hits a step back jumper, buries it, deep three, and blows a kiss to the crowd. Literally my first impressions of Jalen Tyson. And so it wasn't far off from the Jalen Tyson experience that you get in summer league either. A lot of that a lot of that college tape translated to the NBA summer league. I watched quite a few games of his in college. I watched quite a few games of his in the summer league, and his offense blew me away. When we were talking, not to steer into the Heat topics too much, but when we were talking scouting him from the Heat were very interested in Jalen Tyson, Tristan Da Silva, those types of wing athletes and scorers. So he was very appealing. And I'll let you go first with the actual summer league stuff of what you found, because I got a lot of notes, man. I took a ton. Let me know what you saw and what you think, and then I'll fill in the gaps.
The part that I loved about Jalen during the summer league, like he played at four different schools in four different years in college. Like he was all over the place, and now he's in yet another. Obviously, he got drafted. He's with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's in another organization. So it's really his fifth. He's been around a lot of different players, and different structures over the last half decade. But the thing that I liked about him coming out, and then something that really popped during the summer, was his playmaking. Like, he didn't average very many assists when he was in college, but you could tell, like, the playmaking juice, like, there's some playmaking chops there. But then once you watch him in summer league, it's like, it's a completely, he's setting up his teammates with, like, several good looks. He's generating all these different looks for his teammates just in different possessions. Like, he's running the show. He's their primary initiator offensively, along with Darius Brown, who I watched a lot when he was at Utah State his last year in college. But then, like, the creation, the balance between playmaking and scoring was something that I really was just intrigued by coming out. And then especially something that he flashed in during the summer. He was efficient, shot 58%, 40% from three. He was, again, just because of how much creation he was tasked with on ball. Like, he wasn't off the ball so much to where he was able to get those efficient 3-point looks, but he was knocking them down at a reasonable rate anyway. But something that also really popped to me, and this is probably something that I was most impressed with, was his rebounding.
Yeah.
If you just look at his rebounding, like his rebounding stats during the summer, 19.2% defensive rebounding percentage, 8.6 offensive rebounding percentage. And to put that into some context, obviously it's different when you're comparing a summer league context versus an NBA context. But I went ahead and looked at Cleaning the Glass, who they filter these guys. There's four different positions that they categorize guys: point guard, wing, forward, and big. And when I looked at it, he, like, amongst or combo guards in there too. But something I filtered was just like, all right, he's, at least I project him as like a combo guard at the next level.
Right.
As kind of like that tweener, that 2-3 type player. And I filtered with just combo guards, like, all right, where does those rebounding percentages stack up just from last year?
Right.
Well, the highest graded offensive rebounding percentage amongst combo guards last year was 8.4%. The highest for defensive rebounding percentage was 18.2%. Like, that was 100th percentile for those particular players, at least amongst qualifiers. And he obviously superseded both of those marks just from a rebounding perspective. Again, I'm not saying that he's going to, you know, do that at the NBA level, but I mean, he was still a really good rebounder in college. If you just look at those numbers again, like he was around 17-18% his last 2 years, and then hovering around 6-ish% his last 2 years at Texas Tech and California, where he played his last year. So like, he was always around the, and you could just turn on the tape too during some, like he was always around the glass. Like there were a couple times where, you know, he was crashing from, not even, it wasn't even just corner crashes, it was above the break, at the wing crashes, and he was active on the offensive glass. Like that's something that I liked a lot, even when he wasn't the one who, you know, he wasn't on the interior. Like he would crash, he would run, you know, 20-30 feet to at least try to go for these rebounds, in addition to crashing on the defensive end of the floor. And like, rebounding is something that I value just because it's one of the more underrated parts of playing basketball, especially on the defensive end of the floor, like closing possessions. And I'm just curious to see how he translates this into an NBA context when he's surrounded by Evan Mobley, when he's surrounded by Jared Allen. Cleveland hasn't been a great rebound. They were better last year. They haven't been a great rebounding team with those two guys, but I think he elevates the floor there. In addition to, he provides just more playmaking outside of Garland, outside of Mitchell. Because there were times last year when Max Strus was, you know, not the de facto point guard, but he was initiating offense for them at certain points. And it's just like, there's no disrespect to Max Strus, because I mean, I love Max Strus. He was awesome in Miami. But that's just not his typical skill set that you necessarily want from him. And I think if you add in a guy like Jalen Tyson to take some of that load off of Garland and Mitchell specifically, you're in a really good spot. And that's also in addition to Caris LeVert and some of the other guys there. And I don't know. He was a guy that I also liked a lot too, pre-draft. And I was just more impressed by the way he ran the show and the way he conducted himself and set up his teammates and just kind of ran that offense entirely over his five games.
No, you actually hit the nail on the head about him. It's more than just the shooting with him, even though, you know, he takes that one dribble pull up, you know, going to his right. He's knocking it down at a very high percentage. He shot 40% from three from the Las Vegas Summer League, or the 2K20, whatever, 25, 24 Summer League, whatever they call it or whatever they branded it. But he did a lot more than that. You know, just looking at my notes, you know, from that Laker game. And also it was another game. I forget who they played. I forgot to write it down, but he creates space so well off the bounce. And he doesn't just change, he controls the pace off the pick and roll, and he changes the pace very well. So he knows when to go, he knows when to slow, he knows whenever to hit his big who's popping out to that three-point line. They did that a lot, or hitting those, you know, skip passes into the corner whenever the help came. And he finished really, really strong at the rim as well. So if you go and look, I know it's summer league, but he ended up at like 58.8% field goal percentage for the summer league. He was not afraid to get in there, and he's sneaky athletic. I mean, he's not super bouncy like the kid from the Lakers, from the 2022 draft, Julian Johnson. I think Isaiah Jackson, that's his name. He was freakishly bouncy, man. If that guy had change of pace, he'd be a monster. But just comparing those two athletes, what I was really interested in seeing is how well he could fit in with the group while still contributing and filling up the stat sheet. And that's exactly what he did. He wasn't afraid to let his teammates shine. When his teammates had it going, especially Brown, as you pointed out earlier, he was letting them just hit shots. He would just go in the corner, play his role, rebound. You know, he did a lot of, and the assist, the game you watched, I believe, was not the Laker game. The other game I watched, it was the Pacer game.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No. The Laker game. The Laker game, he had 9 assists. So I watched.
You're all over the place. Yellow, a team that has a yellow color wave.
So the Pacers game was the first game I watched. The Laker game was the second game. He had 5 assists in the Pacer game. He had 9 assists in Lakers. I'm old and my brain is addled, but it's not that old, man. I got there. But yeah, in that Pacer game, he shot 90% from the field and 100% from three. Like, He's an offensive talent. Now, he attacks the close really well. He runs the floor. He's really good. Now, this is pointing to what you were talking about, the playmaking. He manipulates the defense with his eyes really well. Way better than you would think for a guy that's known as just a scorer, right? Like, he's more than that. And you saw that in summer league, and that's going to pay off for him to be able to be on the floor with the other high caliber and high priced talent that Cleveland's going to put out there. Cause he's not going to get all the shots. You know, he's not going to get a ton of shots. So he's going to have to be okay with that. And I think he will be. Now let's talk about the defensive end. Cause as a coach, not so good. He takes really bad angles defensively on his closeouts. Like he'll half you and the guys just run by him. Like his feet are not very swift on the defensive end. He's very handsy, even though he doesn't pick up a lot of fouls, but that's only because they hide him. Like, he didn't really POA much of anybody. They just put him off ball and let him try to shoot the passing lanes when he can and crash the glass. And his screen navigation's poor, man. He dies on the screens. He just hits them, stops. He's late closing out on 3-point shooters on trailers. Like, and even though I like him crashing the glass, he's a waistbender, dude. He's not first to the floor for those loose balls. So he's got some work to do in that arena.
No, I'm with you there. Like, I think the part that I liked most about him, just from a defensive standpoint, was him in the passing lanes. But that was, you know, very particular moments. Like, there was one time in the Laker game where he was on the right. He was defending a guy on the right corner, and the guy cut back door, and he didn't see it, but his instincts allowed him to still get the steal because it was really just a poor pass, and it was an ill-timed pass, and he was able to still, like, he jumped to the corner when the guy was cutting behind him, and so he was already out of position there because he didn't see the guy cutting. But he was able to still get into that passing lane and recover well enough to corral the pass. And then there were a couple of times where at least in the film that I watched, like they were switching mostly everything, or at least the actions that he was in. And so, like, I just want to see it just didn't feel like he was not engaged with the switches, but he would just kind of switch, like, just soft switch and everything, and that would be that. Like, I feel like NBA players are going to take advantage of him not, ducking under that and at least trying to, you know, get involved in that passing lane just in case of guys, you know, try to ghost it or slip it. And so that was a little troubling. And then, like, just on the ball, there were definitely a couple times where it was either like closeout or something, and he would take a poor angle, or at least not. It felt like he wouldn't over close out, but he would just kind of run past dudes at certain points, and then once they blew by, he didn't really try to recover. And so again, like that, again, those are just stuff that I want him to clean up. And I always try to keep in mind the kind of burden that he has offensively. And I don't know if that bleeds into it. And I wonder if Kenny Atkinson and that staff is going to get in his ear about, like, all right, since you're not going to have the ball from time, like, we're going to need you to step up on the defensive end of the floor. And that was kind of how it was also in college. Like, there were there were glimpses of, okay, this guy actually has a legit motor defensively. But then it just was never consistent. And you're not going to be a good defender if you're inconsistent defensively. But that's also something that he can continue, obviously he can look back on that and just continue to build off of it. Now that he's in a context to where he's not going to have the ball so much. Cause I mean, the last, 2 years of college, or at least especially last year, he had the ball all the time. And I think some of that bled into his performance defensively. And not to say that happens to every player, but it happened to him, at least I think. And I just wonder, like, if he's going to actually be, or at least develop into an average NBA defender within his first years. I'm not expecting it right away. Like, I'm not expecting him to completely turn the corner yet, because to your point, there's mechanical stuff and some positioning stuff that you want him to work on. And him being a little too upright at certain times and not being super fleet of foot when it comes to him laterally or whatnot. Like, there's obviously kinks to work out there with the foot speed and all that, and the positioning. And so I don't think it's going to be a fix from day one, but I just wonder if someone's getting in his ear about, like, okay, you're going to be surrounded by all these guys. Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell aren't good defenders. And right. So, like, you're going to need to step up in that particular area. Like, Caris LeVert's not a great defender. Mitchell and LeVert specifically are guys who can be somewhat decent defenders on certain possessions, but, like, that's just not their game. Obviously, you have Okoro there, you have Mobley, you have some guys who are solid defensively, but it's not, if you're on the floor with those guys, like, you're going to need to not be a complete negative on the defensive end of the floor if you're not going to have the ball in your hands 24/7.
No,
that's just something that I'm curious about.
Yeah, I'm super curious about it as well. And, you know, from a coaching standpoint, I don't view it as, he's got too much of an offensive burden, because I take the challenge personally, is what defense is. Right. Defense is a sense of urgency, intensity, physicality. And that's what you don't see with him. When you talk about those closeouts, they're not really over closeouts. It's just he gets there and he kind of just is like, I'm here. Like, even when he contests the threes, he's kind of just like, you know, it isn't very enthusiastic. It's very lackadaisical, very laissez-faire for the French. I'm interested in how he develops there. I think he's going to have to really develop there for him to get a lot of minutes. I think they'll try to find him a role to help offensively, but you're not going to have Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, who, as you mentioned, aren't great defenders as it is, taxing themselves while this guy's like, I'm not that great of a defender either, so let's just, you know, let turnstiles go. You got to have point of attack defense somewhere. You got to have rim resistance outside of Mobley. So it's going to be very interesting how he finds his way on the floor. Those are big things to me. Not playing defense in terms of intensity and taking the challenge and being competitive with that. Not being first to the floor. But I do love all the offensive stuff. The offensive stuff is dynamite. They got something there when it comes to him offensively. Like I said, his three ball is special. I mean, it's not just spotting up, stand still in the corner. It's off the bounce. He can do it. He can do it either way. Stand still, catching shoots, coming off screens, off the dribble. He can shoot it. And he's got a soft touch. When he gets in the lane, it isn't just about, like, being a super athlete dunking the ball. Like, he's got a really soft touch off the glass. Several times he finished over multiple people, taking a little bit of contact, and the ball just feathery soft off the glass. So I love the offensive stuff. It's all the other dirty work that I'm concerned about. But
and something offensively that I like was just, like, his physicality at certain points when he would get into the lane. Like,
offensively, like, yes.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, offensively, I think he welcomes the physicality and the contact at certain points. Obviously, he's got, you know, an array of dribble moves to skirt around some of these guys, but I do think, like, when he gets into the lane, when he gets within, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet of the rim, he's able to, he welcomes the physicality, like, of a guy's contesting or whatnot and trying to draw, you know, draw the foul with his touch and whatnot. But yeah, defensively, he's got to work on it. And I don't want to, like, the Cavs were seventh in defense last year, and I think a portion of that was Mobley, who did miss time. It was Okoro. It was, like, I think Bickerstaff just – he helped gel those guys over a season, over, you know, an 82-game season, even after Garland and Mobley missed some time. Like, they were somehow just turned into one of the league's best defenses. So it's not like this team is full of just bad team defenders or bad – like, they don't have – that. Obviously, some of their guys at the point of attack aren't good.
Right.
But they've had piece, they have guys – at least on the back line to help mitigate some of that, but that doesn't excuse, you know, someone being poor defensively and not improving.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the other thing with him is awareness. So you mentioned that back cut where he got the steal. In that same game on the other side of the floor, they back cut him for a wide open layup. He was guarding guy in the corner. I don't know what he was looking at or thinking about. Guy goes back door. He had no clue. You got to see ball in man when you're in the corner, you know. But again, like you said, they are a better defensive team than we were giving them credit for in our initial conversation. So we'll see. Atkinson, I think he's going to coach him up. I don't think he's going to let him just loaf on the defensive end. But I really like the physicality in terms of the offensive stuff, as you mentioned. He's 6'6", 218 pounds. He was punishing the small guards when he got in the lane. And the one thing that really stood out too was his feel for the game. He's only 21 years old. Amani Bates, who's only 20, but he's had a whole year of NBA experience. Same thing with Craig Porter Jr., the point guard, who I actually like.
Me too.
Tyson was better than him in Summer League. Let's get out of here, man. It's been a great time, man, talking Jalen Tyson from the Cleveland Cavaliers. We were able to chop up his film from two or three games and reminisce about his college. Can't wait to see him in the regular season. We're going to get out of here. Before we do, let the people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work again. Math equation, please.
NPH underscore 824 underscore. You got to do the Pythagorean theorem. TottenhamHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, WatchPlayback.tv, /5RSN, 5 Reasons Sports. I'm all over the place, man. I'm all over the place.
He's a man of the amongst the people. He's everywhere. Omnipresent, omnipotent, permeating your airwaves and TV stations and articles that you still read. People still do that. But yeah, no, thanks for coming on. Appreciate always having you on. You're an awesome co-host, man, to be on this show with me. And I definitely appreciate that. Looking to keep growing this thing so we can continue to make this happen the way we're doing that. The rebrand, you can find me, Digital Adele, on all social media channels. Hoops Profile, Beyond the Backboard, on YouTube, on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are found. You can find us, subscribe, download it, listen, leave a comment on this video. Let me know what you think of the rebrand. I appreciate you. I'll see you next time.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.